is the King of Kings. Do you know what that phrase means? King of Kings. That means there are kings. No, he sits over all of them. He's in charge of everything. King of Kings. He is the one and only ruler, Jesus Christ. There is no other king you answer to but Jesus Christ.
More of him, less of me. That's my cry, that's my plea. I wanna be completely his.
Welcome to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. We're going to get right to today's message as we continue to look at what to expect when Jesus returns. So if you have your Bible, we are in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 1 through 21 for part 2 of the message, We Can Experience His Final Victory. Here's Pastor Tim.
Not only will we see and experience His coming, we will then rule for 1,000 years over a land that is immediately and miraculously impacted by His glorious presence. It says, on that day, remember I told you you'd see that phrase a lot, right? On that day, this probably doesn't mean so much a 24-hour period as a range of time. In that period of time, that word day there in the original Hebrew can mean either one, 24-hour or long period of time, and you start to see references to multiple days along with it. So it's probably a period of time. On that day, living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem. Everybody say, that's weird. You may not know that, but right now the waters flow in. And they knew that. They knew that there were things that they had to count on and trust in for daily life. And on that day, living waters shall flow out from Jerusalem, half of them to the eastern sea and half of them to the western sea. It shall continue in summer as in winter. As Jesus' foot touches down, wham, thunderous earthquake rips apart, changes the plate structures, water tables shift, and fresh water starts coming up out of Jerusalem and feeding all that is around it, including the seas, becoming fresh watered seas poured into from Jerusalem. All the open plains starting to green up because of what's being provided from this center, Jerusalem. As the King of Kings, the Creator who speaks and it is, puts His foot down and says, this is my home, and it will feed out from here to everyone. Water pouring out, bringing freshness all over the place. It says it shall continue in summer as in winter. And forget about the seasons and forget about things changing during the seasons. Jesus Christ is bringing a consistency when He comes. It says, not only will we see all this water shift, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. And the Lord will be king over all the earth. Please hear me. We are headed for this spot, and this is the way it should have always been, that Jesus Christ and God Almighty ruling as king. This is about Jesus Christ reigning forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He has put His foot down and taken over. May God get all the glory. Huge. It says, on that day, the Lord will be one and His name one. There is going to be one king. There is going to be one ruler. And He stands over it all, Jesus Christ. It says, the whole land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem. But Jerusalem shall remain aloft and on its site from the gate of Benjamin to the place of the former gate to the corner gate and from the town of Hanel to the king's winepress. You have this massive statement. Right now, there are hills all over the place around Jerusalem. And as Jesus' foot touches down and you get this thunderous earthquake, the Mount of Olives splits apart, creates a rift. It actually shifts all the plates and all these hills and mountains collapse down to a flat plain. But Jerusalem stays aloft. The place of the holy residing of Jesus Christ will be up above, and water will flow out from Jerusalem into all the plains around, and everything will get rich and green and lush because where Jesus is, things are awesome. And don't miss it. A massive shifting in the entirety of the world. Remember, it's just gone through a 7-year tribulation. This world is a mess. And Jesus is cleaning it up by His foot touching down and His presence coming in. It says that all of this will happen and it shall be inhabited, for there shall never again be a decree of utter destruction. Jerusalem shall dwell in security. Jesus is bringing in peace. Praise be to God. Jesus is bringing in hope. He will reign and rule as king over all, and there will be peace and provision on this earth. Remember, you and I now, we have already been captured up, if you believe in Jesus, captured up at the front end of the tribulation, glorified body, glorified soul coming along, we came down with. There are still people on earth, humans, who are now experiencing Jesus Christ coming in as king and taking over. And it's pretty clear in the passage to come what that's going to look like. And super important that we grasp it. It says, and this shall be the plague with which the Lord shall strike all the peoples that wage war against Jerusalem. There are people who are literally going to be saying, we're in charge of this earth, and we're not going to stand for this one who puts his foot down and says, I'm taking over. We're coming against him. And this is the Armageddon talk. This is the nations being gathered that we see in verses 1 and 2 of this chapter. They're all now rallying together and they're getting ready to come against Christ. This is the same war you see in Revelation 19. Revelation 19 talks about Jesus Christ coming again, and it brings a massive statement of his power and authority. It says, from Jesus' mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. Jesus Christ, he is coming on a white horse, and all of his holy ones coming with him on white horses, and there is one weapon, Jesus' word. That's the only weapon. We don't bring weapons. We're just figuring out how to ride a horse. That's our thing. Don't fall off, man, right? That's our thing. We're coming down and we're watching him do his thing. The only weapon is his spoken word. It's called here in Zechariah 14, a plague which the Lord shall strike all the peoples that wage war against him. Any of the kings and warriors and any of those things used for war against Jesus Christ are going to reap it. It says here, here we go, here's the plague. Their flesh will rot while they are still standing on their feet. Bottom line, rebellion will not stand. And those who are standing against Jesus, their flesh will rot while they are standing on their feet. Their eyes will rot in their sockets and their tongues will rot in their mouths. This would make a good movie, right? And I'm just telling you, in the moment, as Christ's foot touches down and there is an earthquake that thunders and rips and there is a shifting of all the plates and the water flows change and the presence of Jesus Christ changes all of the geography and the atmosphere and things are beginning to be different, he turns and in that moment says some words we don't know what. It is finished. It's done. No more. Whatever he says, whatever he cries out, his spoken word, the only word, and it melts right in front of them. Over. Don't kid yourself, man. This isn't much of a battle. They ride in to take over, and Christ speaks, and they rot where they stand in a second. Still standing on their feet, it's gone. Rebellion squelched for all the armies that stand against him. Gives good clarifying here in Zechariah 14 of what's going to be happening if you go to Revelation 19. And it's a little more vague there, but it just says Christ and his spoken word. Here it's telling you what it is. It says, and on that day, a great panic from the Lord shall fall on them. That could bring some panic, right? And a great panic shall come on so that each will seize the hand of another and the hand of the one will be raised against the hand of the other. He's like, literally, the Lord is going to create a confusion and people are going to start rallying together, freaking out at what's going on and who's in charge and what should we do. And those who will have nothing to do with Christ start rising up against each other. They're taking their own lives. They're freaking out in the midst. Then it says, even Judah will fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of the surrounding nations shall be collected, gold, silver, garments in great abundance. In other words, when you speak and the kings melt, there's some things that can be picked up that are laying on the ground, you know? It's not a hard battle at that point as they go to pick up the gold and the silver and whatever was left from these nations that came in. And they're now taking over. Christ is in charge. The war is won with a spoken word. And there are now those who are seeing Jesus Christ. And they're saying, I'm not fighting that. I'm not in the war with that. I'm getting who he is. Man, I'm telling you, we've talked about it before in the Celebrate the Savior series, but as Jesus Christ comes down, there are Jewish people who are looking for a Messiah to come as king. Man, are they going to get it? There are Jewish people who are looking for a God who's in charge. Can you imagine the aha moment when you all of a sudden go, that was him. This is for real. I'm in. And all of a sudden, there is a following of Jesus Christ by some. And those who don't stand against Christ and they're rotted right where they stand and it's over. And Jesus Christ is closing out with clarity what's going on. And for those who stand with him, well, they start picking up the plunder, the stuff that's left from the rebellion that was squelched. It says, and a plague like this plague shall fall on the horses, the mules, the camels, the donkeys, and whatever beasts may be in those camps. Whatever they use for war is gone. And it says in Revelation 19, the kings and all the men and all those horses and everything that comes with, gone. This is exactly the same statement. Jesus Christ takes over in one spoken word and the plague is immediate, gone. Melt right in front of your eyes, done. That's what's going on. Man, may we grasp these words. Revelation 20, verse 6, just a little bit after this war, it says, blessed and holy is the one who shares in the first resurrection. That's you and me as we get glorified and we're hanging with Jesus Christ, celebrating him. Blessed are the ones who are with him, who were caught up, had the party, and came down with, and were just witnessing this coming down. Over such, the second death has no power. They will be priests of God and of Christ. They will reign with him for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 6, as Jesus comes in, as his foot touches down, as the earthquake rumbles, as the world gets transformed, as he speaks and the rebellion ends, you and I get to celebrate with him, and it says literally, he starts handing out responsibilities. Hey, as we run this, I'm going to need you to go over here and do that. You got it, right? Hey, I'm going to need you to take this over, and will you please run it like this? Yes, sir, absolutely. There is a massive privilege of serving alongside the King of the universe, and all of God's people said, and we get to reign with him for 1,000 years and watch him lead like none other. Hope. We have hope. In this spiritual, bankrupt world, there is hope. Jesus Christ is going to put it right. Hope. May we grasp it with all we've got. Man, please hear me. When we have no hope, we start raising up our control. We start trying to dictate and mandate and manipulate to get what we want. Our job is to live recognizing this, that in the spiritual world, Jesus Christ brings hope. In the long term for this physical world, Jesus Christ brings hope. May we look to him, may we count on him, may we hope in him. This world is not going to get righted because you and I try to make sure everybody sees the way it should really be. It's not going to happen. As we continue to live exactly like we should live and making much of Christ, there is going to be a large contingent of people that say, no thanks, I want it my way. Christ is going to bring the final solution. He is our hope. And all of God's people said, let's not sit on the runway demanding some changes. Let's make sure that we are saying, Lord God, I'm worshiping you with all I've got, and I'm willing to be a light in a dark world until you come. My hope is Jesus coming. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. He is our hope. Man, just say, come, Lord Jesus, loud as you got.
Come, Lord Jesus.
May we be a church that lives that cry. We long for him to be our hope. May Jesus Christ get the glory. Point number 3. During the 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will be worshiped as the one and only physical king of all kings. During the 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will be worshiped as the one and only physical king of all kings. What's it going to be like in the millennium? What's it going to be like after Jesus comes back and we start into that 1,000 years? By the way, the word millennium, you'll never find it in the Bible, right? But mil means 1,000. Right? So millennium, that's about the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ as King of Kings. You see it in Revelation 20, called out as a duration of 1,000 years. Here in Zechariah 14, we see what it's going to be like during that 1,000 years. So super important that we grasp this now. Remember, all those who believed in Jesus Christ, dead first and then the rest, caught up, glorified, perfected, coming over with Christ, and at the end of the tribulation, coming down with him, fully glorified, fully perfected, coming down, and he hands out responsibilities, okay? So we have great privilege. From this point, we'll have unbelievable vantage point, being perfected and hanging with Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. Amen? Amen. Man, we got to love that. But there are people living on the earth, and the war is going to be one word long, and Christ is going to end it, and they'll rot where they stand. And then there are those who remaining who look and go, I'm in with Christ. So now you have humanity that's in with Christ. They come across into the millennial kingdom. Humanity coming across into the kingdom and us being rulers over it. May God get the glory. Here's what it's going to look like. It says, then everyone who survives of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem, everybody say they're saved. It's probably a pretty appropriate way to read that. They have now trusted in Jesus Christ. They are not standing against him. The words of Christ did not rot them where they stood. All those who survive of all the nations that have come against Jerusalem shall go up year after year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. Everybody say that's Jesus. They're going to go up to worship Jesus and to keep the Feast of Booths. Okay, so now remember back a year ago. Do you remember there were seven feasts? And the last one is called the Feast of Booths. The Feast of Booths is the celebration of God dwelling with us. He's like, now that Jesus has come down and he has put his foot down and he has changed the lay of the land and he's taken over and he's King of Kings, Lord of all hosts, time to celebrate every year with a God dwelling with man moment, Feast of Booths. Every year, a celebration is going to go down where people come in and celebrate, nations represented, tribes represented, even families represented as they come in to celebrate that Jesus Christ is with them. As they come in to see him, all the land has been turned to plains, flat out, rich green. And you're walking through the most lush stuff ever as the waters are pouring off fresh water from Jerusalem. As you come up the mountain, you are coming up to the kingdom of Jerusalem with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. And literally, as they walk into the presence of the physical Christ Messiah, they are worshiping. God is with us. That's the millennial kingdom, man. A celebration annually going on where they remember Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It says, if any of the families of the earth do not go up to Jerusalem to worship the King, right? If anybody won't grasp who Jesus Christ is and they refuse, then it says, the Lord of hosts, there will be no rain on them. And if the family of Egypt does not go up and present themselves, then on them there shall be no rain. There shall be the plague with which the Lord afflicts the nations that do not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. He's like, just so we're clear, it's going to be physically very obvious immediately as Jesus Christ is controlling all the geographic and atmospheric moments that when you choose to not treat him as the one king of the universe in charge of this world, it stops raining on your food plots. All of a sudden, with immediacy, you're like, this is not working out. Immediate. Why am I distancing from him? He's got all the power and authority. It's going to be an absolutely clear moment of Jesus Christ in charge. And the humanity in the world still having some sin, right? Limited sin in the millennial kingdom. People there who aren't quite getting it at times. And he's like, it's going to be made really clear to them through physical things like rain not being there. That the Feast of Booths and celebrating the presence of God Almighty is essential. It says, this shall be the punishment to Egypt. Why keep saying Egypt? A massive firepower nation. And he's like, I'm telling you, even yes, Egypt will have to answer to Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. Do you know what that phrase means? King of Kings. That means there are kings. No, he sits over all of them. He's in charge of everything. King of Kings, he is the one and only ruler, Jesus Christ. There is no other king you answer to but Jesus Christ. Amen, man. That is our God. And that is the thousand-year reign of Christ here on earth. It says, this shall be the punishment to Egypt and the punishment to all the nations that did not go up to keep the Feast of Booths. Jesus Christ is going to reign with high clarity. I love this part. It says, and on that day, there shall be inscribed on the bells of the horses, holy to the Lord. Now, for you and me, that doesn't mean much, but just so you know, horses were not viewed as holy. Horses were viewed as filthy. And so to declare a horse holy to the Lord, you are saying something about the public life, that all horses everywhere are declared holy. They are under the kingship and the rulership and the headship of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, even the public things that used to be filthy are viewed as holy to the Lord. He's in charge. It says, and pots in the houses of the Lord shall be as the bowls before the altar. Bowls before the altar, super holy. The pots, super not holy. Now all of it viewed as holy to the Lord. Everything is viewed as holy. Yes, the public life. Yes, the religious life. All those pieces used in the temple and whatever else. It says, and every pot in Jerusalem and Judah shall be holy to the Lord of hosts. And the private life. Everything, every little knickknack up in your cabinets, right? All that the people have at that time, holy. Why? There is no more secular and then sacred. It is all sacred. Jesus Christ is king. He is physical king. He is spiritual king. He is Lord of lords. He is almighty, in charge of it all. And all of it is his. Holy. No more secular and sacred. No more separation of church and state. And all of God's people said, there is one massive celebration and Jesus Christ is leading it all. He's in charge. It is a theocracy, God ruling. It is a Christocracy, Jesus Christ ruling. It is absolutely glorious as God makes this place reflect him in charge. Everything is declared as holy. It says, and there shall be no longer be a traitor in the house of the Lord of hosts on that day. Not traitor, traitor, T-R-A-D-E-R. Nobody who needs to transition the secular stuff into the sacred stuff. Nobody, when you come up, you're like, I don't know, man, I need a dove. What do I give you? Well, you can give me one of your ropes. You can give me, right? And they start trading and bartering in order to get this holy stuff. Now, everything is considered sacred. No trading needed. What you have is rightly under the King of the universe, Jesus Christ, and he sits in charge. Blue dot out in front of us. It's still to come. Jesus Christ will be victorious. As we are plodding through this earth, remember this. We are in this stage. We are in the church age, and we are longing and waiting for Jesus Christ to come. There is going to be a moment where in this 7 years, we have been called up and out and we are prepping for a celebration with him. And at that moment, as he sees fit, at the end of the tribulation, when it goes really bad down here, Jesus comes in thunderously in charge. He rules over all. He establishes it with his foot touching down. And with that power and that spoken word, it is immediately made his kingdom. And for 1,000 years, there is massive celebration of God with us. There is no more sacred and secular. It all sits under Jesus Christ, him in charge. At the end of the 1,000 years, he cleans up shop one last time in massive ways. New heaven and new earth come, and we're in eternity forever with him. Victory is Jesus Christ. So our longing from this vantage point cannot wait for Jesus Christ to come. Cannot wait for him to rule. As he calls us up to the heavens first, for us to be with him and be glorified and be preparing along and then coming down as he takes charge. That is our hope. Victory in Jesus Christ.
Thank you for listening to Completely His, the teaching ministry of Summit Point Church and Senior Pastor Tim Harkness. If you don't have a church home, we invite you to join us for one of our services on Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 and Sunday afternoons at 4:30. For more information or to contact us, please visit us online at www.summitpoint.org. That's www.summitpoint.org. Thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next Sunday as we seek to be completely His.